Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And certainly, everyone, I think, in Colorado is understanding of the impact Hispanic heritage has on our state. But it's not just that. Anytime we go out to eat, many of the restaurants are dependent on the workers, both behind the scenes and in the front of the office, in the front of the house, who help us get those meals that are so delicious, those meals that are so sustaining. And many of these people are of Hispanic heritage and are continuing to draw on their Hispanic heritage to extend our culinary delights. So joining us here to talk about Hispanic Restaurant Week, which is going on right now, we're so pleased to have with us the head of the Hispanic Restaurant Association, John Jaramillo. John, welcome to The Extra.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, and it had to be a pleasure to have Governor Jaropoulos declare this Hispanic Restaurant Week. What went on in terms of trying to get that to become a reality? Because we're the first in the nation, right, to have a statewide Hispanic Restaurant Week?
We certainly are, and we're thrilled and honored to have Governor Paulus declare the state of Colorado the first in the nation to have Hispanic Restaurant Week. It went from September 22nd to October 3rd, so there's still some days ahead to go out and enjoy some great foods, some margaritas, and just kind of highlight the Latin cuisine. Our goal is just to highlight the contributions of the restaurateur, the chef, and the back-of-the-house staff of their contributions to the restaurant industry.
Right. There are many people in the restaurant industry. I worked in a restaurant. My daughter has worked in a restaurant who say that restaurants would not be able to function if it weren't for some people who've come from, whether it's Mexico or other countries to the south, but they would not be able to work without that strong base of Hispanic restaurant workers.
You're absolutely right. I'd like to say that the Hispanic Latino community is the human infrastructure and hospitality side of the restaurant and food service industry. It's absolutely true.
Good point. And that is extended as many of those workers then, you know, grow in the craft, grow in the career, and start restaurants of their own. How many restaurants are members of the Hispanic Restaurant Association? And where is it is that where you gain your strength, is more and more restaurants joining?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We have hundreds in our network, and that includes the chefs, the restaurateurs, the businesses that support restaurant industries. It's quite a myriad of people and groups and industry partners that are helping us grow. Our goal is to tap into that entrepreneurial spirit. Hispanics, Latin Americans, Americans, whether they're from this country or immigrated, everybody has that American dream, and they want to start their own restaurants. They want to be an entrepreneur. And they start out as dishwashers, and there's so many that have just worked, you know, their butts off to go from a dishwasher to a chef, and there's so many that still want to do that. Our goal is to highlight those, educate them in that process, and elevate them through everything we do. I mean, from our media side, which is the Colorado Food Magazine and, you know, Instagram, we're going to be opening soon our own small culinary school. And our North Star is a Hispanic Culinary Institute. As we both know, and everybody knows, if you look at it, the Hispanic Latin community makes up a very significant 50, 60, 70, depending on what statistical model you look at, of the food service industry on all levels. And our goal is to highlight that, and then eventually open up our own huge culinary institute, a world-class institution.
Well, and that would certainly bring all the varied cuisines of countries that, you know, that may be influenced. Like, you can have Mexican food from one region, and it's vastly different than, say, Mexican food that has a New Mexico slant. I mean, very different spices used in combination, and you get a whole different experience as a restaurant customer.
Absolutely. It's more than just, we jokingly amongst ourselves say it's more than just tacos. It's exactly. But you have Peruvian influences. You have South American, Chile, Argentina, Argentina. You get me excited talking about food. I can't even talk straight. but we also, you know, the different regions of Mexico, like you said, Jalisco, from Monterrey, from Mexico City, just all these different regions. And the flavor profiles are just magnificent in these, just like there's different cuisines of an American cuisine. You know, there's the Western influence, there's the Eastern, there's the Texan, and like you said, New Mexican. So you are absolutely correct. And I would encourage everybody to pick 10 restaurants between now and third. I know it costs a lot. It's a lot of time, but just check out those differences and you'll be amazed.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Hispanic Restaurant Week is all about, isn't it? Is maybe going outside one's comfort zone or supporting the restaurant that is your favorite or that are your favorites and going to those and, you know, being a patron, being a customer, being a champion of these restaurateurs who are bringing this cuisine to the States and in some ways expanding it in creative ways that are taking it in a whole new direction. Our guest today is John Jaramillo, and he is the executive director of the Restaurant Association, the Hispanic Restaurant Association. And is that here in Colorado or is that for nationwide, John?
Our goal, we started here in Colorado about a year and a half ago, and it's been growing very, very rapidly. But we are opening chapters in LA, Houston, South Carolina. So we are expanding nationwide. We just started a few months ago to move outside of Colorado, but we want to make sure we step it into each state correctly and grow the influence there like we have here in Colorado.
Fantastic. Well, we will continue the conversation. We need to take a short break for commercials. When we come back, more from the Hispanic Restaurant Association, including a competition that we want to talk about, a competition for Hispanic Top Chef. We'll tell you about that. That and more coming your way on The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, and today we are focusing our attention on Hispanic Restaurant Week across Colorado. Colorado is the first state in the nation to recognize a Hispanic Restaurant Week, and for that, the Restaurant Association is very pleased to be thanking Governor Jared Polis. But certainly, as we're talking about this, you can see where this kind of concept has room to grow. And for everyone who's listening, if you were thinking about perhaps eating out in the next couple of days, or maybe you can make plans for it, think Hispanic. Think a Hispanic restaurant. Show your support. And joining us here on The Extra today, the head of the Restaurant Association, the Hispanic Restaurant Association, John Jaramillo. And John, I want to share a little bit of my background. So I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in a big city, and but our family had moved there from Arizona. Both my parents are Hispanic, and we grew up with my grandmothers, you know, making tamales from scratch, making tortillas from scratch, you know, cooking those. And to move to the Pacific Northwest, where there were so few Hispanic restaurants, you know, Mexican restaurants at that time, that I remember once we drove 45 minutes to a different part of town just to try out the one Hispanic restaurant, hoping that it would be better than the sad excuse for a Mexican restaurant in our part of the town. And it was better. But I mean, that's the kind of atmosphere that existed not so long ago. But now Hispanic cuisine is just exploding.
Oh, it absolutely is. And you made me hungry just going through that little sequence of tamales, tortillas.
Oh, yes, made myself hungry. I would get shipments of homemade tortillas at college. I loved it. It was great. But I mean, you know, now you could get homemade tortillas in so many places. You have, you know, so many options now. But there are still, I think, a lot of room for growth in this cuisine.
Oh, there absolutely is. And our goal is to highlight the different styles, regions, and the chefs and the restaurateurs that are Latin, Hispanic owned. And so that's our goal. Mm-hmm. And that there is tons of room to grow.
And membership, how does that work with the Hispanic Restaurant Association? Is it everyone pays one amount to become a member? And what does membership get you as a, is it only restaurant owners or can it be restaurant managers? Who can join?
All of the above. Anybody can join. Our goal is to influence the culinary industry because we recognize there's chefs, restaurateurs, front of the house, back of the house, that work in all parts. And even obviously not Hispanic-owned restaurants. Our goal is to influence them, to give them a platform to progress and feel supported in their careers. So what they do is they go to HispanicRestaurantAssociation.org. They join, it says memberships, and there's tiers for there. And it's extremely inexpensive compared to normal restaurant associations, because our goal is to just provide a platform. And we don't, that is just for us to continue efforts to promote them. We put most of that towards marketing and what the chefs do and what the restaurants do.
And then membership, when someone is a member of the Restaurant Association, I notice here they have different, educational options that they can, take part in, like restaurant training series. What does that encompass?
Well, that encompasses, we call it an incubator and accelerator. I'll do a plug because they really helped promote the initial one. DoorDash, we're doing an accelerator for these different restaurants. They gave close to $500,000 to 20 different restaurants. We participated with them. And our goal is to give them an 8-week training program, from marketing to financials to profit and loss to branding. And we bring in all these experts. And it's digital training as well as local experts. And our goal is just to make them more effective. And it ties back to our mission statement, which is to advocate on behalf of the Hispanic restaurateur to open and operate their restaurants effectively and efficiently. And the effectively and efficiently means giving them access to education programs, access to great vendors that really do look out for their bottom line, and introduce them to technologies that really do help save 1, 2, 3, 5% on things, and it saves them a lot of time.
Jump starting chefs' careers, and taking that sous chef who may have ideas and opening him up to the door of possibly being an owner operator.
Absolutely, that's the goal. The entrepreneurial dream is so many people's dreams. And our goal is to give them that training. When we talk about restaurant operations, that's like, what's your idea? It's a phased process to where, and we're working with peer brands. That's kind of like the Airbnb of kitchens, where we can, instead of them being charged so much, we start with an idea. We get some menu planning. We get some recipe development. We get some branding in there, what they're trying to achieve. And we just walk them through this educational process and then put them in a kitchen where it's not that costly. And then once their brand, they have the right growth, they have the right customer base, and they have the revenue, most importantly, then we start looking for a brick and mortar.
Mm. And does that also help, I guess, having this backing, having this training, does that also help open maybe some more doors to capital infusions, which sometimes, because of cultural barriers, discrimination, what have you, have been very difficult for, I think, Hispanic restaurateurs to pass, to get those same access to funding?
It absolutely does. There's the financial side. That's a great point. That's one of the key limiting factors. It costs so much less through the programs we're trying to do. There's also the state and the cities have been very good about, hey, these are some platforms. The Office of Economic Development has been very hey, here's some doors that you may not know about. And the key there is communicating to these restaurateurs. If they don't understand English, do it in their language. And help them. And our goal is to not only give them finances, but the support systems instead of being alone. So, yes, the financial access is much more accessible through what we're doing in our networks.
And then you're making it kind of a little bit more fun and maybe even a little more cutthroat with this chef competition. Just give us a preview of it, because we do have to take another break here in a bit. But just give us a preview of what your vision is for this chef competition.
The Hispanic Top Chef, we're bringing chefs from all over the U.S. to compete. It should be more like a Hispanic Top Chef showcase, but it's competition. And we're going to highlight their talents. It's going to be on October 15th. And I'd love to talk more in the next segment. I mean, that's our premier event for the year.
I'm excited to hear more about it. We do need to take a short break. Our guest today is John Jaramillo. He is the head of the Hispanic Restaurant Association. And we are talking about Hispanic Restaurant Week in Colorado. But up next, we'll talk about that top Hispanic chef competition. Coming up, keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra and our show. We're connecting with Hispanic Restaurant Week, which runs through the 3rd of October, right? John Jaramillo is our guest today. He is the head of the Hispanic Restaurant Association. It runs through the 3rd, right?
It absolutely does. Yes. So get out today. It's Thursday. Get an early start on this weekend with some margaritas and some fajitas and some great Latin food.
Good salsa, maybe some queso. Oh, all the good stuff.
All of the above.
All of the above. I know. And of course, TJ, our producer here, he always brings in his super burritos from, where is it? Alfonso's. That's his favorite. And he always makes our mouths water with that. We're going to talk about the Hispanic Top Chef competition. Very exciting. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But before we get to it, let's talk on a more serious tone. So during the pandemic, restaurants, certainly out of all the industries, probably nationwide, restaurants took, if not the most brunt of pandemic woes, but they took certainly a lot of it. And for many restaurant workers, the low pay means they don't have a lot in savings built up. And so many restaurants were closed down. And then when they did reopened on a limited basis. How difficult was it for Hispanic restaurants and Hispanic restaurant workers to weather the storm that was the pandemic?
Everybody in the U.S. was kicked in the teeth with that one. But particularly, I felt in the restaurant industry, because the Latin community makes such a significant portion of it, they were hit particularly hard. And also, not only from the restaurant owner, but the staff, they didn't know how to ask for help. That's a key component. There was lots of help out there. They didn't know. There's often the language barrier, or the ability to fill out all the correct forms and just access to ask for help. And part of that also was just pride, like, we can do this. So it had a huge, huge impact. And our goal moving forward is just to help alleviate that, introduce them to new programs, introduce them to new educational platforms, introduce them to just give them hope and help them move forward through a platform. We're the only organization in the U.S. like what we're trying to do. And our goal is to be a national platform, and we are already getting there. It's just now just gaining that influence.
Getting the legs under it. Because in many industries, well, I don't know. I think in some industries you have a lot of, for instance, girlfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, partners who are, working in the same industry. But in the restaurant industry, it seems like it's even more so. You have a lot of spouses who both work for restaurants, girlfriend, boyfriends who live together who both work for restaurants. So when something hits the restaurant industry hard, it hits everyone in that family.
Double hard.
Yeah.
And yes, as I said, I can't emphasize enough how hard it was and the impactful, the financial devastation. And just emotional tolls on families, on restaurateurs and the staff and everything else. I know the government, through their PPP loans, did a lot, but the Hispanic Latin community was really left behind in there. They just didn't have the support network to navigate that properly.
Right. Well, let's talk about something on a much more uplifting note. This Hispanic Top Chef competition. Is this the first time that you know of where Hispanic chefs are going to be showcased in this way exclusively?
Yes, it is, that we're aware of. Hispanic Top Chef, this is our second year.
Okay.
We did do it last year, and it was wildly successful. And we've grown about 10, 15, 20 times more. I mean, it's probably 100 times if you look through the actual numbers of views and who's connected. This last year was all Colorado people, and then this year it's from all over the U.S. And not only that, I don't know where to start with the chefs and their bios or the judges, because both are equally impressive. And I'll start with the chefs. First of all, it's on October 15th at CSU Spur from noon to 5 o'clock. And we're going to have the chefs cooking. We're going to have some great guests. There's a VIP section, and there's also general admission. If you go to HispanicRestaurantAssociation.org, you'll see an events page, and just buy your tickets there. We'd love to have everybody there. But let me start with the judges. We just secured, late last week, Chef Fernando Stovall. He used to be the head, or I don't know about the head, but the executive chef for the Queen of England.
Wow.
He's coming. He's going to be our MC. We're beyond excited. And that's just one. I mean, let me just go through the whole list. We have Chef Dana Rodriguez, you know, who's a Denver icon. She's the new chef. She has her own brand. She's just a magnificent restaurateur. We have Chef Pablo Aya, who used to be the executive chef for MasterChef Mexico. And then we have Chef Manny Badea, who won 5280 Editor's Choice Top of the Town Chef for Denver. He's a James Beard nominee. So is Dana. And it's just this impressive list of judges. And then we go to the competitors. We have Chef Amalia Damgard out of Minneapolis. She's an award-winning author. I believe she's of Guatemalan descent. We have Broadmoor from down in Colorado Springs, one of the chefs competing from there, Chef Mario. Then we have Milagros Casina, Chef Roberto Reyes. He's doing that. And then we have Chef Jimmy Santiago Cruz out of Houston, Texas. He is coming from one of the top premier country clubs out of there. And then Zuri Resendez, who at one point was the executive chef for Shanahan's, and he started his own entrepreneur thing, the Luchador Food Truck. Those are just the chefs and competitors. It's just an impressive, impressive list.
I love it. So I have never watched, I don't think, the Iron Chef, except once in an airport lounge, I believe. So why don't you explain the format? How do you determine the top Hispanic chef?
Well, they have to be submitted by somebody else. You know, they have to submit their bio via the Hispanic Top Chef website. And we have a little committee that kind of goes through their bios and looks at their background, what awards they've won. And our goal is, once again, a lot of people may not know about them. They're so talented. Our goal is to educate people about these unknown chefs and elevate them. So that's why a lot of them are not that well known, because they just do their thing and they're magnificent at it. And our goal, once again, is to educate and elevate.
So in the competition, do they get like certain ingredients, or do they have a certain amount of time to put together a certain signature meal, or how does that work?
Yeah, they're going to have to prepare an entree, an appetizer, and a dessert in 2 hours, themselves and a sous chef. We're going to have a whole wall. It's going to be walking into a wonderful grocery store with meats and seasonings and all the, you know, condiments and everything needed to produce these great meals. And they're going to have a look at that, what's available, an hour before. And the kitchen over at CSU is just one huge, beautiful kitchen. All six chefs will be competing at the same time. They'll be staggered, so when they finish their dishes, they'll have about 15 minutes to present to the judges. So we're going to have a couple of secret ingredients that they incorporate that we won't reveal till about an hour beforehand.
And let me just guess that chilies probably will be some of the staples that will be there available, right? That goes without saying.
Don't tell anybody. That's top secret. You can't tell anybody. We'll keep it between ourselves.
Yeah. But there are a myriad of different types of chilies, and those can inform what kind of dish they prepare, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about chefs, when you get around these chefs, and once again, I'm learning so much, they're like these creative artists that not only bring, you know, from the families, but they create these new recipes and new flavor profiles. And it's just a constant movement and improvement of flavor profiles. And that's what's most impressive to me. They can just look at things. You and I would be like, yeah, okay, yeah, a little salt, a little pepper, and we're good to go. But these chefs are just these amazing creative artists.
Fantastic. Well, again, we want to mention the Hispanic Top Chef competition, October 15th. It runs daytime from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., so it'll be at CSU Spur, which is on National Western Drive, near the Stock Show grounds, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Fantastic.
It's a brand-new building. We had our Latin Supper Club, the first event there, and this will be, you know, I don't know if it's going to be their second, third, or fourth event, but it's they've allowed us to use their facilities, and it's a beautiful, beautiful facility. We used MSU Denver last year, and we just kind of outgrew that space in 1 year.
Well, and since, you know, we've got Chef Mario from the Broadmoor, Colorado Springs town, we may have to bring some signs up there to really cheer Chef Mario on.
Yeah, I would encourage everyone, please do. And you also have Chef Roberto out of Milagros Casino.
Oh, great. All right. Some representation. Fantastic. All right. Well, we need to take another break. We'll be back with more from John Jaramillo. We're back with John Jaramillo, and we were talking about Hispanic Top Chef 2022, the competitors set to face off, knives blazing on October 15th from noon to 5 p.m. at CSU Spur Denver. That's near the Western Stock Show grounds. And if you would like to buy tickets, it looks like they're starting at $60. Is that correct, John?
$65.
Well, and then you get to watch what they do. Now, is the prize for this, because, you know, on the Great British Baking Show, do you know what they do? I think they give a cake plate. That's all they get. Is there any better prize for the Top Chef, the Hispanic Top Chef?
Actually, yes. We're awarding prizes this year of $3,000. $2,000 and $1,000 for first, second, and third.
Ooh.
And yeah, and we're flying them all in. They're going to be staying at the Origin Hotel Westminster for the week. We're also quickly, about a couple other things about precedents and things we're doing. We're going to have the nation's first Hispanic Chef Summit, the few days before that. And just talk about industry trends, how we're going to shape the industry. As we started out, you know, the Hispanic Latin community makes up a significant portion of that. And our goal is to develop a platform so just gain more influence in leadership roles and elevate the workers and the talent that's already there. We have nothing to do with the talent, but to help them progress in their careers and in the industry.
Great. Well, again, if you'd like to find out more, definitely go to HispanicRestaurantAssociation.org. We'll make sure we get that URL and link up on our podcast page if you'd like to check it out at krdo.com/radio. And of course, the reason, the prompt for what we're talking about is Governor Jared Polis with a declaration, a gubernatorial declaration calling this State of Colorado Hispanic Restaurant Week. And his proclamation also talked about recognizing the great contributions that Hispanic and Latino and Latina restaurateurs, chefs, and staff have made to the restaurant industry. Also, it's Hispanic Heritage Month, so it's a great time to also recognize that aspect because part of culture is the cuisine. And we, I dare say there are a few people out there who don't enjoy, who can't appreciate Hispanic cuisine in the many facets of it. What are your favorite things to get when you're out eating Hispanic cuisine, John?
Oh, that's like asking a golden retriever who his favorite food person is, or a Labrador who his favorite food is. I mean, that's like next to impossible.
Oh.
I mean, like if Biota, the that's one, Chef Manny, his tacos are off the chart. I mean, I love the shrimp tacos there. From Chef Zuri, his Buria, sorry, I can't talk. I haven't had enough coffee. Tacos, and he just introduced something with the ramen. It's like an Asian influence with the Mexican beef, and then the tacos, the venison tacos at Nomad Taqueria. I would say those are my top three right now. But like once again, it's like talk to me an hour from now.
Ever changing,
and exactly. I mean, it truly is like asking a golden retriever who his favorite human is. That's impossible.
All right. So we have about a minute left here, John. What would you like our listeners to know, to have as the prime takeaway from this hour of conversation?
And recognize the contribution the chefs, the restaurateurs, and the Latino community has contributed to the food service industry. As I mentioned earlier, the backbone of the food service industry. And our goal is to provide a platform for them to educate and elevate. And I'll end with our vision statement, is to educate and elevate the Hispanic community across a multi-generational spectrum. And there's so much to impact there, from helping, we help feed kids that underprivileged and show them what careers are available. Our goal is to bend the strategic arc, as I often say, and introduce them to the opportunities that this country offers, whether you're an American or an immigrant. And I served 20 years in the U.S. military. I love my country, and everybody that I met in our organization loves this country too. And our goal is just to improve the lives of everybody.
Well, that's a fantastic, worthy goal, and we wish you well in that mission. If you would like to find out more about the restaurant, the Hispanic Restaurant Association, go to HispanicRestaurantAssociation.org. Very easy URL there. And again, Restaurant Week, Hispanic Restaurant Week, runs through October 3rd. Maybe add it to your family meal planning. Maybe you need a night out of the kitchen, and you want to take the family out. Think about going to a Hispanic restaurant, or patronizing a place that is dear to your hearts, serving Hispanic cuisine. And anytime you're in a restaurant, do acknowledge probably a lot of the people in that back of the house, those back of the house roles are of Hispanic heritage and are doing their best and have made quite a contribution. John Jaramillo, head of the Hispanic Restaurant Association, big thanks to you for joining us here on The Extra.
Thank you for having me.
And looking forward to that Hispanic Top Chef competition mid-October. If you've been listening to The Extra, thank you for taking part in this hour of conversation. I'm your host, Shannon Bernier. We hope you have a good Thursday.